Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Hello there and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. On today's program, we're going to be looking at the readings, the mass readings for the baptism of the Lord. And this is the official, we believe it or not, we come to the official end of the Christmas season. Man, it's been a good one. I hope you've appreciated the Christmas season as much as I have. This year, I was determined to, and you know, it's funny, sometimes we go into these seasons, either Advent or Lent, with high expectations, and then we come through and we think, my expectations were not met. My Lent was a failure. My Advent was a failure, whatever. And you know, I always tell you to go in, try your best, and really depend on the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead you. And I'm a firm believer that if we put the time in, if we have that desire to encounter the Lord and grow closer to Him, either during Advent or during Lent, He's going to respond. Well, this year, I made the effort to put the extra time in to really spend time with the Lord each day and meditate upon this mystery of the incarnation and the Word becoming flesh and the visit of the shepherds to the baby Jesus when the angel announced that he had been born. And then the three magi, but we know that from reading the Bible, it's not necessarily that number is not named. There's three gifts, but we're not told specifically that there were three wise men or magi. But meditating on all these things has made it for an incredibly fruitful Advent and Lent for me. Advent and Christmas for me, and I hope it's been the same for you. Just make that effort. You know, make that effort, really not just during Lent or Advent, but every day. Make the effort to grow closer to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I want to grow closer to you, and just see what happens. And then let the Holy Spirit be in charge. That's the point I was trying to make. I remember last year for Advent, I came away with the desire to know Jesus more. I didn't feel like I got there, but I just felt this incredible hunger to know Him more. And you know, that's a blessing. That real desire to know our Lord more is a blessing, because that's going to lead you to put in the time that's required to get to know Him. What's the best way to get to know Him better? By spending time with Him. So I encourage you to continue, if you've done so during the Christmas season, continue to try to spend the time each day to get to know Jesus. Spend time with Him through Scripture, through the sacraments, through prayer, and you're going to find a change in your life. You're going to find these desires starting to happen inside of you. That's the Holy Spirit at work. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit when we look at these mass readings for the baptism, the feast of the baptism of the Lord. So that's on the agenda for today's program. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. Sound like a plan? All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for being there for us. As we turn to you in prayer, we know that you hear our words. Father, help us to better feel your presence in our daily lives. Help us to remember you wherever we go, and always recall that you are with us no matter where we are. Father, continue, please, to lead us to your Son, Jesus. Help us to better know the Holy Spirit. Help us to appreciate the gift of baptism when we first receive the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for giving us another day. We thank you for giving us the ability to be able to speak with you and hear from you. And Father, I ask that you reveal yourself to us in these mass readings today. Help me to get out of the way so that your message can go forth from my lips. I want this to be all about you today, Father. I want you to speak through me. And please send your Holy Spirit to each of us this day so that our hearts can be open and we can be receptive to hearing and responding to your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I'm feeling pretty good now. Now that I spoke to my Father in heaven, you know, it's funny, whether I do it on this radio program or I am giving my talks, I always begin with praying, and I speak to the Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, and I close my eyes, and I raise my hands in the air, and sometimes I completely lose track of where I am. I just think, and then it'll hit me, yo, Gar, come on, you got to reel it in, you got a show to do, you got an audience to speak to. But that's the beauty of speaking to our Father in heaven. It gets so much easier, and you get to know Him even better. And I would encourage you to keep trying to do that. Jesus will lead you to the Father, and that's what I found. Initially, I just wanted to know Jesus, and I wanted to get to know Jesus on a personal level, which hadn't happened to me, even though I've been a Catholic for all of my life. I really never knew Jesus personally. And it's amazing, as I continued my journey and got to know Jesus better, all of a sudden I had this desire to learn more about my Father in heaven. And that desire led me to find books and listen to preaching about our Father in heaven. And then I wanted to learn more about the Holy Spirit. This all happened because of my relationship with Jesus. The same thing will happen to you as well. And you'll also probably find yourself being led to get to know the Blessed Mother more, as well as Saint Joseph. Well, that's no coincidence. That's the effect of walking with Jesus every day. So just let Him lead you, and I know you won't be disappointed, especially if you're somebody like me who tends to be on the anxious side. If you have struggled with worry and you're looking for peace in your life, maybe you're dealing with some pretty serious suffering, stick with the Prince of Peace every day. Cling to Jesus. But you got to carve out that time. There is a lot that we can't do when it comes to achieving peace. I can't force myself to be peaceful, but I can force myself to spend time with Jesus every day. Start slow. Don't try to spend 2 hours a day if you're not used to praying. If you can make it to daily mass, please do that. It's going to change your life. Encountering Jesus in the sacrament of the Eucharist is an incredible blessing. And read some scripture. Again, start slow. You don't have to go crazy. And just spend some time talking to Him. If you don't know what to say, say, Jesus, I don't know what to say. I love You, Lord. Help me. Help me. I want to trust You more. I want to believe in You. I don't know where to start. These are all good prayers. And if you ever have any questions, you can always shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. Or contact me through my website, followingthetruth.com, and I'd be happy to share some advice with you. This has been a journey for me. It's a journey that I'm still on, and I'm going to be on this journey until the end of my life, getting to know our Lord better, getting to know my Father in heaven better, getting to know the Holy Spirit better. But I've been at this a while, so I'd be happy to share some of the do's and don'ts that I've learned in my life. We're all different, but I think there's a lot of common elements to our walk in faith, our walks of faith. I've learned a lot from other people, and I'd be happy to share what I've learned with you. So just shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let's get right to the readings today. We celebrate the baptism of the Lord. Again, the official end of the Christmas season. And it's been a good one. I think that the church is very wise to not rush Christmas and to really spend some time pondering this mystery of the Word becoming flesh, Jesus becoming the second person of the Trinity, I should say, becoming incarnate, Jesus Christ entering the human race while retaining His divinity. I mean, He loves us so much that He wants to take on all the suffering that you and I experience on a daily basis. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And then pondering along with the Blessed Mother, as the scriptures tell us, this mystery of the Word becoming flesh. So today, we look at the readings for the baptism of the Lord. And what I'm going to do, as I always do on the program, is start with the gospel. So we'll start out with the gospel. Today, we look at Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. It's all about the baptism of Jesus. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus is it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Oh, man, this is such an amazing gospel. Let's talk about it a little before we go into the other readings. Here we see all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit appearing together at the baptism of Jesus. We see Jesus going to John the Baptist, wanting to be baptized. And you see what's happening here. John is saying, "No, no, no. I'm not the guy who should be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." But Jesus, in all his humility, and that's one of the things that always strikes me when I look at our Lord, how humble he is. He lowered himself to become human. And then here he is, after living an obscure life for 30 years approximately, beginning his public ministry by being baptized by a human, by somebody. And remember, Jesus is divine. He's God. And he submits himself to the baptism of John. And John's freaked out by this. He's saying, "No, no, I shouldn't be baptizing you. It should be the other way around." And Jesus, in his humility, says, "Let this happen. This is the way it's supposed to be." And what happens is Jesus institutes the sacrament of baptism. He institutes the sacrament of baptism by allowing this to happen. And he allows us to follow in his footsteps and to be baptized. Take note of the fact also that we see, and remember, if you've been baptized, this is pretty neat, because we see when Jesus is baptized, he comes up out of the water. The heavens are open for him, and the Spirit of God descends, that's the Holy Spirit, descends on him like a dove, comes upon him. When you were baptized, the same thing happened. You had the Holy Spirit. You received the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that descended upon Jesus, which, remember, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit that animated the acts and the words and the thoughts of Jesus Christ. He gave you that Spirit. How incredible is that? So you received the Holy Spirit first when you were baptized, and then a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son." Of course, this is God the Father speaking, "with whom I am well pleased." You heard that same voice, or I should say, you probably didn't hear it, but those same words were spoken on the day you were baptized. And I want you to remember something. When you were baptized, if it was as an infant, as in my case, it may not have been, but it could have been. And in the case of Jesus, he hadn't started his public ministry yet. So I think so many times we look at the life of Jesus and we think, yes, the Father was well pleased with everything that Jesus did. He didn't really do anything yet. And I think that's so cool to remember. Your Father in heaven is not pleased with you necessarily because of what you do, of all the holy things you do. He's pleased with you for who you are. Now, certainly he expects us to do good. He wants us to do good in life, but he loves you for who you are, not for what you do. I think that's tremendous, right? That makes me feel really good. It takes a lot of pressure off. And again, if you really love the Lord, you're going to want to do good things. But you shouldn't be trying to earn God's love, because that's impossible. He loves you unconditionally, which means there's nothing you can do to make him love you any more or any less. He loves you for who you are. So when you were baptized, God was well pleased. He expresses that same sentiment. "My son, my daughter, in you I am well pleased." And also the Spirit of the Lord, the same Spirit that Jesus received, you received. What's that mean? That means that you have the ability to be Christ in the world. Isn't that incredible? I have a book coming out later this year about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And once we can tap into those fruits of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, we're going to have all the love, the peace, the joy, the patience, kindness, generosity, goodness, patience, and self-control that we need. And that's a challenge, though, to be able to cooperate with the grace given to us by the Holy Spirit. But, you know, we try to do this ourselves. We try to be good and love others all by ourselves. That's where we fall on our faces, because Jesus doesn't expect us to do it by ourselves. And that's why he sent us the Holy Spirit. So all of these amazing things took place when Jesus was baptized. And it's the same thing happened when you were baptized. If you've not been baptized, please do what you can to make it happen. It's an amazing sacrament. It's viewed as the gateway to the other sacraments. It's incredibly important. So maybe we'll talk more about baptism one day. But for now, the baptism of the Lord kind of makes us think of our own baptism and what an incredible privilege that we've had to be baptized and all these great things that happen when we are baptized. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 42, beginning in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased. Remember that from the gospel? My chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. Sounds familiar. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. Now, we hear all of these prophecies, which obviously point forward to Jesus Christ. But here's what we have to remember. When we are baptized, we are incorporated into the mystical body of Christ, or the church. So we become part of Christ's body. So me, you, all of our other Catholic brothers and sisters around the world, and in a sense, in a lesser sense, our Christian brothers and sisters who are part of the body of Christ, some they may be separated if they're not Catholic, but if anybody has been baptized, the Catholic Church teaches that they are part of the mystical body of Christ. So we are all part of the body of Christ. Christ is our head, and we have the Holy Spirit. So we essentially are commissioned to go out into the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. That means we can pray for healings in the name of Jesus. Miracles can happen through us. We're not doing them. We're not divine, but as part of the body of Christ and animated by the Holy Spirit, we are able to do incredible things. So you should always pray for healings, for miracles, for if you need something, pray for it in the name of Jesus, because great things can happen. Again, we pray with the trust that the Lord ultimately knows what he's doing. So we have to pray with humility and accept the fact that this might not turn out the way we planned or the way we would desire. But I always say, pray expectantly, pray with confidence. If I hear somebody has cancer, I pray for a complete healing. Some people have been healed when I pray for them. Some people have not. But this is where I learned to trust the Lord. But don't underestimate his power. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Be bold. I'm serious. You have the same Spirit that Jesus had inside of you. And you, as a baptized Christian, are part of the body of Christ. That's powerful. That's powerful. And I'll tell you something else. When we recognize that fact, that person who annoys you, you start to look at that person differently. Somebody who has also been baptized, they're part of the body of Christ. So when you insult them, when you get mad at them, when you want to shun them, you're actually doing that to Christ and you're hurting him. So, I do it too. So I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just pointing out something that helps me to be nice to people that might not be that easy to be nice to, if you know what I'm saying. That's where you can depend on the Holy Spirit. And you can love that person like Jesus loves them. But that's a discussion for another day. But we see in this reading from the prophet Isaiah, this literal pointing forward to the person of Jesus Christ and what happens on the day of his baptism, and really what happens on the day of our baptism. That's the cool thing about the Old Testament. We want to make sure that we don't discard or disregard the Old Testament. The Old Testament's very important. We've got to accept the entire Bible, old and new, and view it as the written word of God, Old and New Testament. Responsorial Psalm is Psalm 29. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And that's a message for any of you who are struggling with anxiety and who are looking for that peace. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. We could all use some more of that. Give to the Lord, you sons of God. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Adore the Lord in holy attire. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The Lord over the vast waters. The voice of the Lord is mighty. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The glory of God thunders, and is his, in his temple all say glory. The Lord is enthroned above the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, I'm pretty sure I mentioned this on the show before. If you look at the verses for this this psalm, you'll see the word Lord, L-O-R-D, in all capital letters. That means when you see that in the Old Testament, that is translated either Yahweh or Jehovah, which is the English version of the word Yahweh. That is the high holy name of the Lord. The Lord, the Holy One. This name was so holy that the Jews wouldn't even pronounce that name. So we're talking about the Lord in all his holiness. That name, when you look at that, that word Lord, that should blow you away, because that is the high and holy God of the universe. And we see the voice of the Lord is over the waters. That's exactly what we saw took place at the baptism of the Lord, when we heard that word from God the Father saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And you know, when you apply that to your own baptism, it is mind-blowing to picture God the Father saying that about me and you, isn't it? That makes me feel really, really good. It makes me feel special, and it takes the pressure off of me to avoid earning God's love. I think that's a tendency we have. We look at love of other human beings, we want to earn their love. We feel if I do nice things, this person is really going to love me. It doesn't work that way with God. He loves you no matter what. And again, if you grow close to him, the closer you get to him, the more you're going to want to love him unconditionally to the best of your ability. Yes, we mess up because we're human, but we want to not let God down. And I think that's an important concept. That's what the gift of the Holy Spirit, fear of the Lord, is all about. It's the fear of disappointing the Lord. I love him so much, I don't want to let him down. It's not fear of messing up. That's the, I would say, the lowest form of fear of the Lord. But that's good enough. That's enough to get you started. But you want to get to the point where you love him so much that you fear hurting him in any way. That comes with time, but it is absolutely achievable. The second reading we take from the Acts of the Apostles, beginning in chapter 10, verses 34 through 38. Peter proceeded to speak to those gathered in the house of Cornelius, saying, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites. As he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, what has happened over all Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." I think when I hear those words and I think to the power, think about the power that I received when I was baptized. That's just incredible. That I have the ability to be another Christ in the world. We're all called to that. And I think it's so easy for us to underestimate that ability in us and think, I'm not good enough. I just can't do it. I'm a loser. I have a short fuse. My temper is just, it gets the best of me so many times. I'm apathetic, I'm lazy, you know, and we really underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Yeah, I've got most of those qualities I just mentioned, to be honest. I struggle with all that stuff. But I also have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And when I receive baptism, I receive the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that power of the Holy Spirit was strengthened in me when I was confirmed. So I have what I need. I have what I need to be Jesus to my brothers and sisters in the world. Do I always look like Jesus? No. And that's where I mess up. And that's where I have to learn in my humility to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works like a GPS and power steering combined. I think that's the best explanation of the Holy Spirit that I've ever heard. The GPS, the Holy Spirit tells you what you should do. You'll get that inspiration. All right, I know this is what I should do. I know I should remain quiet. I know I should reach out to that person. I know I should give more money to the poor. I know I should refrain from this sin. That's the GPS. The power steering aspect of the Holy Spirit means that it becomes easier for you to do these things. It doesn't become a slam dunk necessarily, but it becomes easier for me to love my brother or my sister. It becomes easier for me to avoid my favorite sin. It becomes easier for me to remain quiet when I really, really want to say something. But this comes about through prayer. And every day, this is what I recommend. Every day, I recommend you ask your Father in heaven to send out a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit on you. I do that every morning. And I pray the prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit," throughout the day. It does make a difference. But it takes time. I am such a proud person. It's not easy for me to yield to the Holy Spirit. But it's getting better. And I know that can happen for you. So give it a chance. Let the Holy Spirit rule over your life and guide you like he guided Jesus. That's exactly the function of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to be holy on your own. You're going to fail. Don't try to find peace on your own. Don't try to get joy on your own. You will not succeed. Eventually something's going to happen and knock you on your rear end, and you're not going to be able to do it. Turn inward and let the Holy Spirit guide you. Boy, I'll tell you, what a difference that has made in my life when I started turning to the Holy Spirit. Okay, sound good? All right, we are just about finished. Again, for the last time, I'm going to say to you, Merry Christmas, because the Christmas season is coming to an end. We're going to have a few weeks and get a little breather, and then we launch into Lent with Ash Wednesday. And, you know, so just make use of the time to just catch your breath and get ready. Start thinking about what you want to do for Lent. May I suggest giving up worry for Lent? You know who just happens to have a book called Give Up Worry for Lent. But anyway, we'll talk more about that as we get into the Lenten season. If there's anything I can do for you, or if you would like to visit my website, find out about my books, possibly make a donation, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. I gotta run. Until next time, thank you for joining me, and I look forward to meeting you again on the Gary Zimek Show. God bless you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.